Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
You know, so we have a furnace out in the foyer this week. We're just taking turns, it looks like, with furnaces. We have a staff furnace out, not the furnace itself, but something else had happened. So Steve made a very interesting comment when he was here, Steve Schroeder. And he said, you know, if things in our life happened in our dream, we would often be asking, what does it mean? But often when they happen in our life, we just assume that maybe God's not speaking through them. And he challenged us, if you were here on that Friday night, to go, Lord, what are you speaking maybe through this situation? So I was thinking of that as Steve was praying, and I feel like the Lord really is restoring the fire in our lives, the heat. And it's interesting that this unit, the belt was broken, that unit, a modular was broken, the unit over there was actually a vent that had been closed. So how many believe that he's opening avenues that were closed to us in our fire for God, amen? Things that had blocked us. How many want things that are blocking us to be removed, amen? So I really believe that's true. And not everything is spiritual. But this is a little odd. This is our fourth one now. So I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? I feel like he's restoring the heat. Come on, restore the fire, right? Amen. Lord, we ask you. We just pray, Lord, restore the fire. You're doing it naturally. We ask you to do it supernaturally. Anything that's blocked, we ask you to unblock it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, they're going to pass out communion. If you need an element, the elements, can you raise your hands? They'll get them. You don't open them yet. Just get them ready because I'm going to start my sermon. Then we'll do it. What's that? Like halftime. Yeah. Halftime. Thank you, Lord. Abby, would it be possible for you to bring up Eliza? I know she's super comfortable, but she seems to sleep. Being passed around works into my sermon great because I wrote this down today. How many have ever experienced something that you try to tell people about, and as much as you try to tell people about it, words will never, ever do, right? So I'll get into some of my analogies, but she's still worshiping. She's been worshiping the whole day. Do you want to introduce her?
This is Eliza Van Horn.
Yes, she is so beautiful. Born on?
January 13th.
January 13th. So when I came in, I didn't expect to have a chance to, I didn't even think you'd be here, but I had a chance to hold her. I'm looking at this beautiful baby that grows inside of a mother's womb. And look at the toes. And as much as, you know, if Abby got on the phone and tried to describe Eliza and how cute she is, I'd be like, oh, I'm sure she's cute. But how many know that when you see, it is very different than just being told about it? She's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for introducing her. I remember my parents, they went to Alberta. And I remember when they got back, the first time you'd ever went, and you telling me about literally rounding it, a bend, I think it was. You know, I was there myself, but they told me about you turn a corner. You know the mountains are supposed to be here, and you can't see them. But for some reason, you get to a point, and you come around this bend or up a hill, I can't remember, and all of a sudden, the Rocky Mountains are there, the majestic Rocky Mountains. And I remember she tried to describe it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that must be so amazing. But again, if you don't, you know, you see pictures. But I remember Kristen and I driving, and I remember that coming upon that spot. And it's like they weren't there, and then they're there. And you're like, it takes your breath away how majestic they are. For me, you know, if you live there, you get used to it. But for me, I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, look at creation. It takes your breath away. There are things that have to be experienced. There are things that have to be experienced. As much as we try to tell people about it, try to let them know, things have to be experienced. And I my sermon today is simple: presence, purpose, and people. I've been wrestling, you know, we want to be a church. We have to be a church that says, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to go. I'm going to tell you the final point, and then we'll work through it. Listen, When you get before the Lord in his presence, it should lead to purpose and loving people. Amen. I heard an amen. I'm going to try that again. And I'm going to prove it to you in scripture. But when we get into the Lord's presence, it should end up with having a purpose for God and to love people well. The danger we have is if you, some people want to just be a, all that I want to do is in the presence of God. And I understand that, I love that. But I am convinced that being in the presence of God should lead you to want to get other people to experience what you've experienced. And you tell people about it and you let them know, man, I had a move of God or God did something. And people will be like, that. Interesting. Wow. The goal is to go, I got to get you into that presence. I got to get you here. Amen. All right. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah. Isaiah 6. So I wrote a few things down trying to help, you know, that sunset that you saw that you want people to experience. Just can't ever describe the sunset. Rocky Mountains, beautiful oceans. Isaiah 6. Shane, is your amp going to explode? It's buzzing. Oh, he turned it off. Okay. I'll leave it to the sound guy then. I was kind of afraid. Isaiah 6, this is a well-known, if you've read Isaiah, this is one of the ones that always stands out. Isaiah 6, verse 1. We're going to start right from the beginning. And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. I want to say this before we go any further. The book of Isaiah has some of the most, and probably the most, I assume, I shouldn't say that for sure, but I believe the book of Isaiah has the most prophetic descriptions of Jesus, the cross, what he will go through. And when I love this, when I'm reading Isaiah, I actually believe that Isaiah, when he is looking, he sees both kingly Jesus, and he also, I believe, sees Jesus on the cross and what he does, just by some of the wording. That's my personal belief. When you look throughout, like Isaiah 53 in different places, he actually is describing, he bore our griefs. You know, he was smitten for us. He describes this. So I believe he had a vision of this. So this is when Isaiah is being called to be a prophet. So I personally believe he is witnessing, because in heaven there is no time. So he is witnessing both King Jesus, he's seeing King Jesus on the cross, and he says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now, we're going to stop there. There was something about this I'd never known. Let me see if I can. Back in the day, there's something very significant about the train filling the temple. It's not a train. It's the train of his robe. How many wives got married and had a long train? Raise your hand. Yes, back in the day, it's not a thing as much anymore. How many had a really long train? Like you need a few? Yeah, we got a couple. It's that piece of garment, you know, that carries on, and you need some usually flower girls and that to help you out and make it look all nice around the altar. Well, it's interesting. It says the train of his robe filled the temple, like filled the temple. So I was asking myself this morning, like, Lord, what is that about? Because I don't really understand why that's significant. And as I began to look and research and pray, there's something I did not know. You know, it's so easy for us to get garments today, right? You go to the store, somebody made it. It's just easy. Everything's machine made. Usually it doesn't last long, right? Back in the days, garments were if you had something that was worth valuable, like you would keep it, and it was made, handmade, right down to, you know, getting the wool, getting the material, making the thread, making this, the whole garment. Like it took days, weeks, probably years for some of these. And kings had these, you know, you've seen a king with their robe and the train, like they are so great and refined and regal. That's the word I was looking for. So material was really, really important. What I did not know, maybe you did, when enemies would go to war with each other, if one enemy conquered the other enemy, it was customary to go in and they would take, after they slaughtered the king, they would actually cut part of his robe off. And they would sew that robe into their robe. Very interesting. So, you know, he would conquer one king, put that into his robe, conquer another king, put that into their robe. Very interesting. What did Joseph have? A coat of many colors. There is some symbolism already happening here. But basically, a king that had a lot of territory and conquered a lot of different nations, his robe would get longer. So now we have Isaiah that's in the throne room, and he says, I see the Lord on his throne, and his train fills the temple. It's incredible. Turn to Matthew with me. Go to Matthew 28. This is why I believe he saw the resurrected Jesus, because in Matthew 28, he's going to say something. So this is a king that has to have dominated to have a long train, right? He has to have been a conqueror. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, this is Jesus has been crucified. This is when he has risen from the dead and he comes to see him. And he says this, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this is what Jesus has done. He has victory over death, gone into the pits of hell, grabbed the keys, come back and told the disciples, listen, all authority is now mine in heaven and on earth. I have conquered it all. So it's incredible when you go, okay, Isaiah sees the king. The king is King Jesus, and his robe fills the temple. Why? Because he has been victorious throughout all the earth and in heaven. He's conquered it all. Are you getting this? I know sometimes we're still waiting to see it happen, and we are still in this battle. But when it comes to what Jesus has done, he's done it. He has done it. He has the robe to show his victories with all the different things. Well, what has he conquered? Sickness? Shame? Come on, yell it out. What else has he conquered? Death? Death. Disease. Poverty. Sin. Depression. Condemnation. Like, these are the things that he's conquered, and he's got a robe to prove it. You following me? So when you read over, you go, oh, his robe filled the temple. That's great. But there's a purpose behind it, because he's the conquering king. It's no longer nations that he's conquered. He's conquered sickness and death. He's conquered condemnation and shame. He's conquered sin on our behalf. He's conquered the addictions that you have. He's conquered all these things, your poverty. He's conquered it. He's a conquering king. Amen. It's halftime. Because I thought, you know what, it's a good time to take communion, because that's what we do. When we take communion, we are taking it not just in remembering it, but saying, Lord, you did it. And when we partake of it, we are partaking of it, that victory. So let's just open her up here. Lord, I ask as we go through 2024 and beyond that you would begin to open our eyes to that throne room. I pray that, like, here's a radical prayer. I pray that we would see the throne room like Isaiah did. And better yet, when we bring somebody in, I pray that they would see the throne room. Because I'll tell you, if we can see the king, high and lifted up, and we could see the train of his victory. Man, I would love to hear without anybody even knowing, go, man, I don't know what I saw today, but I saw a king on a throne, and there is written on his train the very thing I'm dealing with, and I saw it. What does that mean? Oh, it means he conquered that. Oh, my gosh. So, Lord, we thank you that you are a conquering king. You don't conquer us. You conquer the very things that are trying to conquer us. We thank you for a chance to take your body and your blood today. We thank you, Lord, as we've just read, that you are high and lifted up in your robe, your train fills the temple. I pray, Lord, you give us eyes to see this. Eyes to see this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, as we take of that body, would you do things inside of us that need to be done? Lord, we are taking of victory. Like what you just took is victory. So Lord, as we take victory, Lord, would you have victory in our bodies, victories in our minds, victories in our finances, victories in our relationships? Lord, you are victory. Lord, as we take your blood, Lord, I thank you that, Lord, your kingdom is upside down. Lord, I thank you that something that we take that is so red can make us so white. Lord, I thank you that it makes us clean, it cleanses us, it purifies us white as snow, as scripture says. Gosh, we thank you, Father, for the cross, that you did it, you did it, you did it, you did it. So Lord, as we partake, would you cleanse us from the inside out? Lord, if there's any areas of sin in our life, if there's things that we're struggling with, I pray, Father God, that you would go in and be that victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We could almost go home because I'm still pondering that victory. He is a conquering king. You know, one of the things that I believe the last 20, 30 years have been so beautiful about is that we're beginning to understand the Father so much better. You know, because if I told you, if I described the Rocky Mountains like this, so man, I went to the Rocky Mountains. They were the ugliest thing I have ever seen. I was there and I saw rocks falling and crushing people. It was disgusting. It was terrible. You know, you wouldn't, it's horrific. Hey, do you want to come to the Rocky Mountains with me? How many would accept that invitation? Well, so often we do that without even realizing it. We don't, but much of the body of Christ has been known, you know, a hurricane hits and they'll go, that was the hand of God. Because of some sin, you know, when it hits their place, they're like, no, that's not what it was. But if it was that place, that must be, you know, that hurricane, that earthquake, that fire, God is smiting people. And they were like, hey, why don't you come to church? Let me introduce you to my loving God. We've really confused people because that's not the Father, is it? There is a devil. We are at war. Zach's at war right now in his body, and Jesus wants victory. He paid the price for it. He is the conquering Savior. And I think it's easy to sometimes remember that we're at war and we have to battle. That's not what I want to talk about, but I just think we need to remember that. Amen. So we, King Isaiah, go back to Isaiah. This is Isaiah, he saw the Lord, chapter 6, let's start from the beginning. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had 6 wings. With 2, he covered his face. With 2, he covered his feet. With 2, he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Well, you know why the whole earth is full of his glory? Because he was seen today. I think two things. Because he was seen the day that there was the conquering king on the throne. And he was seen a day when people would rise up and worship and the glory would fill the earth. Amen? And the post, this is where I see, it says when Jesus finished and he breathed his last breath and he said, it is finished. It said the earth shook and the doorpost shook and the veil was torn. And it said here, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out and the house was filled with smoke. It's my personal belief that that's the moment he was seen. But I want to make you aware that he has seen the throne room. He has seen the train. He has seen the holiness of God. So when we get into that place, when we are worshiping, I believe there should be a response to that. Now, I think the first response is often people go, what exactly what's going to happen here? Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Man, I'm so thankful we live on this side of the cross. And again, I go back because Isaiah is going to have his lips touched with coal and instantly he's going to be purified. Well, that is not something that happens until the New Testament with Jesus. He's in the throne room, I believe, seeing this side of time. Because all of a sudden he's going to be purified. Well, back in that day, it was sacrifices that purified you. So we're here and we're in the throne room. And I believe every time we get together and worship, and I don't believe we beg God for his presence, but I believe our heart longs for God with his presence. Jesus, you got to come, please, please. We don't have to do that. Here's an example. How many remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life? How many love It's a Wonderful Life? How many hate It's a Wonderful Life? Seems to... Oh, wow. This might just be my wife in here. She's just not a fan. She's never liked it. And I've loved to watch it every Christmas Eve. Do you remember that moment in It's a Wonderful Life when they're finally, you know, together? They were in the pool. They fell into the pool or jumped into the pool. And so, you know, he's wearing the football clothes and she's wearing a robe. And they're falling in love. And he's looking into her eyes. And they're kind of like this long dialogue. But he looks to her. And he says, what do you want, Mary? What do you want? You want the moon? I'll lasso the moon and I'll pull it down. Is that what you want, Mary? Why? Because face-to-face encounters with the person you love will make you go, what do you want? Because I'm here and I love you and I'll get it for you. Right? That's the way we should stay in our marriages. We have to stay like that in our marriages if we want our marriages to thrive. But when we come into the throne room with the king or into the place here, that's what our hearts need to be. Lord, I love you. I'm going to worship you. What do you want, God? Well, Lord, I would, because you're asking that to me, I want you to show up. Would you come in your presence today? I don't have to beg him. There was no begging. Give me the moon. If you really love me, give me the moon. No, it was a moment of love. When we come in and we worship, that's what I feel like we're doing. Lord, would your presence just come? And my heart's going to go after you. And I know your heart's already coming after me. We're just going to worship today. And that's why I believe singing is something that we must do, because it's a form of adoration. The Bible clearly states that he is enthroned on the praises of his people, praises being verbal. So I know a lot of times we just love to sit and there are moments for that. But I think when we come in and we start, we want to enthrone him with our praises. I was very aware today that it's easy to go back to going, oh, look, we have sound again and let the worship team do it. No. We're going to let our voices join, right? We're not going back. Tell your neighbor, we're not going back. Or I will go back to that round. I love the round. I actually grieved when I was taking it down. So hard. It's just realistically, it's so hard to do for the camera people, the sound people. I knew it was for a season, but there was nothing like just being together to worship. Not a stage, not a platform, nothing dividing. And there'll be moments for that. But back to this. woe is me, for I am undone. See, the next response is when we see the Lord, it's often, he doesn't come to make us feel, actually, there's no place here, if you notice, that God is telling him, you're a worm. Did you notice that? He just sees the Lord and he goes, whoa, I'm undone. Like, compared to you, should I even be allowed to be here? I'm unworthy. Never once is there condemnation. Because I am a man of unclean lips. He sees his lips. He sees that he's unclean. And then it's interesting that he goes, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. It says, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hands a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. And your sin is purged. I love this. The next line. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, don't you love it? That he's like, now I've done something for you. You do something for me. We are so transactional in our thinking when it comes to people and God. Well, he set me free, so I got to do something for him. Did you notice that he's there going, hey, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? He's sending an invitation. Jesus is always a gentleman in the sense that he's not going to make us, he invites us. But what I love about this encounter with the presence, Isaiah's response is, then I said, here I am, send me. And then he goes on, go and tell these people. So I go back to, in his presence, we should get a little undone. I'm asking the Lord after what I read today, and I understand now about this robe. I'm like, Lord, I want to see your robe in the temple. I want to see it in the throne room. I want to see all the things that you've conquered, and I want to be undone. What if you actually in one moment saw, as you were worshiping, the very thing that you were struggling with, you saw written on that piece, that train, the very thing that you're struggling with, and as you saw it, you quickly saw Jesus go, finished, because that's what he yelled on the cross. It's not, it is finished, that is finished. I bet we would be undone, wouldn't we? And in that moment, you never struggled again. What if he has encounters planned like that for us? Just dreaming a little higher, going, hey, 2024, if he's turning up the heat, Lord, we want to see this happen. Man, I am so grateful for 12-step programs. I really am. They've set lots of people free. But I also know Dorman stepped right here and was set free. Didn't mean the battle was over, but the victory was done. How many would like to see a little more of that, right? How about, you know, if we're going to get a name for anything, and it's interesting, ascent is all about going up. But I want you to know we go up so we can come down and go up, right? We go up so we can come down and tell people about the experience and how amazing and awesome God is so we can get them to come, and then we take them up together, and they experience the Lord. That's the way it's supposed to be. Because when he says, hey, who shall I send? He says, so send me. Because I've just been in the presence, and now I need to go tell people about this, how amazing he is. Amen? Turn with me. There's so many stories, but for the sake of time, let's just go to Acts. Go to Acts 2. Please. You know, a lot of times when we think revival, and we all long for that day when something happens that's unstoppable. I believe the Lord wants to do that and has done that. And there's a moment here we're going to read in Acts. If you've been in the church for a long time, you know the story well. We often look to this. This is Acts 2, verse 1. But I want you to know that there were only a couple moments like this in the book of Acts. And the rest of the time, it was people going into the throne room, coming down, and talking to one, two, three people. Going to the throne room, coming back down, talking to one, two, three people. It was everyone sharing the gospel where they went. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, meaning they were in unity. It's not about the room that they were in. It's not about the round. It's not about the circle. They were in unity. In one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a mighty rushing wind. Isn't it interesting? When Isaiah saw the Lord, it says the posts were shaken. Man, there is like, when Jesus comes, things shake. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. It says in Isaiah, there was smoke filled the temple. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were, how many were filled? The good ones? The ones that only did the perfect? No, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Doubting Thomas, he was filled with the Holy Spirit too. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Peter's going to go through and he's basically going to preach to them. He's going to preach his first real sermon. Verse 38, if you jump there, it says, then Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and to all those who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this first generation. Then those who gladly received, they chose, gladly received, were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. We want moments like that. We love moments like that. 3,000 coming into the kingdom. But if you read much of the rest of the book of Acts, it was soul by soul by soul by soul. I'm telling you, church, I actually believe, honestly, that we have probably never been in a more ripe time. It's really interesting that we're in a time where more people are angry with the Lord and verbally angry, but at the same time, more people are like, I need hope. I need prayer. I am willing. I'm seeing it as I talk to people. I have not yet come across somebody. Maybe it's just where I go, but I haven't had somebody just like outright not want to talk to me about God. Every person, if I've had the opportunity, they'd be like, you know, I've been thinking about going back to church. You know, I've been thinking about God lately. I could really use some prayer. More often, that's what I'm getting. And I believe he is in this moment going, okay, you come to a place and you go to the presence, you ascend the mountain of the Lord and you come and you worship me. And I believe he's up there going, all right, I have purpose and I have people for you. Whom shall I send? And our response hopefully is, Lord, I'm scared out of my mind. I don't know how to talk to people about you. But Lord, if you give me the words, send me. And I promise you with that, he will show you based on you and your personality and how you talk to people and how you connect with people, he will use you in that way. But sometimes you have to cross that line where you go, I am just really scared right now to say something to this person. What if they reject who? It's actually not us. They reject him, which is not your problem, it's his problem. I believe we are in an amazing moment in time where we are experiencing more and more of the presence, and we're going to begin to experience more. And I believe we want to have such a fire inside of us, not to, when I say fire, I don't mean anger, I don't mean like, ah! Jesus loves you. That's not the fire I'm talking about. I'm talking about the love. I believe we will get to a point where people will melt with the love of Jesus as you talk with them. I think, did I share about Goldie last week? I did last week. I know I've shared different times, but the quick story is that California, whatever supermarket we were at, Walmart, I don't know what it was, girl behind the counter, what are you here for? Oh, we're here for a conference, Jesus Culture, pastor's conference. Would you pray for me? Husband was a pastor that abused her and her children. And yet she's still hanging on by faith for God. Throughout scripture, if you look, we're not going to go to all of them because I'm going to end. Moses goes to the top of the mountain after he says, you know, the presence, I can't not have your presence with me. What happens when he comes off the mountain? His face glows that people want to cover it. You go to the mountain to experience the Lord. You come down to experience people and give that. Peter, James, and John, they go up the mountain. Jesus is transfigured, literally like Moses' face. Jesus is transfigured. They're like, hey, let's build some, you know, temples and shrines for this moment. And Jesus, no, we're not doing that. I think what Peter, James, and John were doing is like, hey, let's not go back down to the disciples. This is really great because we're the three. You know, we're the really favored ones. Let's just stay up here, build tents. So they experience Moses and Elijah and Jesus, and God actually talks, and they hear his voice, and then it's just Jesus again after he was transfigured. And Jesus says, listen, we need to go back down now. Why? Because literally there was an epileptic, I believe it was an epileptic man that was waiting that they couldn't cast the demon out of him. And right away, he goes and he heals them. Why? We encounter, and there's purpose and people waiting for us after that. Amen? You tracking? So what we've done, you see me holding these cards, and we've simply made cards. I feel like we need to have something in our hands, because a lot of times we tell people, and if you tell somebody, you know, they may not remember. Now, the first thing I want you to let you know is that telling them about our church is not the number one priority. Telling them about Jesus is the number one priority. But a lot of times, that's the first step into them coming to have an encounter. For some reason, people are... And the earth shook with the sound of Josh. Thank you for the special effects. A lot of times we're actually afraid to invite people to church. Now, I don't know about you, I like our church. I really like our church. I like the people that come to our church. I think we have some of the best people in the world. I love you guys. I love how you know. You guys are seasoned people that know how to pray for people. So I know when an influx of people come, I'm not concerned that I'm going to get overworked because you guys have been raised to pray for people. You guys have been raised to prophesy. You don't even know you do it sometimes. You give out a word of encouragement and somebody walks away and they go, that was exactly what I need to hear today. That was prophetic. Pastor Rod's done an incredible job and there'll be more training. But I believe people need to hear about Jesus. Sometimes they get saved right there, but a lot of times they need to encounter Jesus. So we want to get them into this place so they can encounter Jesus. Now, listen, it's awesome. Sometimes you can have a moment. People can encounter Jesus right there. But I also believe we need to get them into places where they can be fed and trained and have community to help them. How many are thankful for community? How many have ever had community keep you when you were having a hard time? They sustained you. Absolutely. Why wouldn't we want people to have community? Bring them in and let us love on them and be a part of their life. So we simply made cards. It says, we'd love to have you join us. It's got our service times. I would like for you each to take at least one card today, if you're willing, to put in your pocket or your wallet or your purse, wherever you go. So the next time you're like, oh my gosh, here. Hey, if you ever want to join us, we just got a great church and people, you're going to be so loved if you come. People will genuinely love you. And man, we do. We encounter God. Just tell them a little bit about it, and you never know if they're going to show up. But I'll tell you, when they show up, you're going to be the first one to be like, oh my gosh, come sit with me. I can't believe you're here. This is awesome. because you are the messenger. And now you're going to, for lack of a better word, wine and dine them. You're going to bring them in. You're going to sit with them. You're going to love them. You're going to pray for them. You're going to contact them. Hey, you need a ride or anything? You don't want to come back next Sunday? Because this is what community is. And by the way, that last part of Matthew, I'll close with this. Going back to Matthew, when it says, all authority, he says, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and worship every Sunday in your church, but don't tell anybody about me. That's not what he says. The trouble is that we think we can go to church every Sunday and be like, I am doing my Christian duty. He's like, no, go and make disciples for me. Church is where you get to do community. Church is where you get to be trained, but go and make disciples. So what I'd love you to do is to get in the habit of, hey, you know, love for you to join us. Can I put my name and number on there if you need, if you have any questions, can I put my number on there if you need to give me a call? Because now it's personal. And if they're willing, can I get your name and number? Just, you know, I can keep in touch with you. Like, church, this is what we do. This has got to become the next step because this is being the body. You guys tracking? We're moving from just doing worship and kind of like Peter, James, and John. Can we just stay here, Lord? We love to soak in the presence of God. And he's like, I know you do, but you got to come down because you have people and purpose. And people are your purpose. Amen? Amen. Hey, let's do it two different ways. Let's do this. Can my beautiful wife and daughter help me pass these out? Take one, two, you can take as many as you want. If you like, give me a whole 14 of them, take 14. We're going to pray over those cards in a minute. You know, sometimes there are miracles all around that we forget to see. I'm hearing the babies and I love it. I love babies. Do you know there was a season when we weren't seeing any babies being born? Do you guys remember that season? We were praying because we weren't seeing babies being born. We were actually seeing babies miscarrying. And we prayed to see that overturn, and there are a lot of babies being born, and I love it. That's a miracle. And they're cute, too. I could say even despite, no, just joking. I'm joking. So these cards are tools. They're simply a tool. You know, and I just want to bust the lie because I feel it. So whether you're thinking it or maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking it, but a lot of times you're like, oh, you just want to grow the church. Yes. Why go make disciples of all the nations? You got to get them in. I think every church should grow. It's been said that if there was massive revival and like people were getting saved or towns were getting saved, there is not enough churches to house all the people. So why would we be afraid? Now listen, I really am. I'm asking the Lord. There's two people I really want to see. I want to see people that are either have stepped away from God, that are not going to church, that have stepped back from God. I want to see them get reignited. And I want to see new salvations in 2024. I am not interested in a church splitting down the road and 40 people coming from that church and going, look it, we've grown. No, the body of Christ is just splintered. But man, when new people get saved and trained and equipped and loved, it's incredible. And when people that walked away because they were offended get healed, it's incredible. Amen. Did all the cards got? I need one. Why don't you just grab you that card? So, Lord, we thank you for this tool to share the gospel. Lord, we ask that you would begin to put a boldness within us to share the love of Christ. Lord, I ask that we would begin to be so excited about who you are that we would want to tell people how amazing you are. We'd also be aware that they need to experience you, whether in that moment, in their car as they drive away, or getting them into church. I pray, Father God, they would experience your presence. So, Lord, we ask you to use these cards. Father God, as we send them out, we call them back with people attached. Come on, can you say that? We send them out, but we call them back with people attached. That they would come back as we send it out. Lord, I thank you that your word returns, Father God. Your word is powerful. So have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, say, I've encountered the Lord. Now I have purpose and people. All right, why don't you stand? So let's, church, not put these cards on our end tables and forget about them in our jeans and wash them. Let Jesus cleanse them, not you. Put them in your pocket, put them in your wallet, put them somewhere. And let's ask, man, Lord, remind us. So, Father God, we thank you for today. I thank you that you've given us your presence, and there is purpose and people waiting. Even as we go, Lord, we send each other out. We send each other out to go to do the work of the ministry. Lord, I pray that you bless everyone here, Father, as the father of the house. I bless. I give a fatherly blessing. Lord, that you would keep people, keep them safe over the week, that your face would shine upon them and that they would be blessed. And Lord, I pray that you would write encounters into their week where they can transform people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.